Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of the Cubs-Sox series over the weekend? Is there any doubt that the two teams are heading in opposite directions? How do you explain the extraordinary number of baseball gaffes by the White Sox and how the Cubs seem to take full advantage of every one? Will things go any different when the series moves to the South Side? Did the series tell you something you didn't know about either team? And did you like that things got chippy in the end?
Didn't like that it got chippy. Didn't think that there was any reason to. I mean, it was a drumming. It was a bad beating of a bad team. And I think that the Cubs are a good team, and they're heading somewhere. And the Soxers, we know, are not. They're heading for 100 losses, and it would be a miracle if they could avoid losing 100 games, because they're just not good enough. And there's little doubt about that. I think it was one of those, it kind of put an exclamation point on the fact that these teams are completely opposite, that one team is just significantly more dominant and better than the other team. And the White Sox pitched okay. You know, Shane Smith had the first outing, and I think he gave up one earned run. I think there were so many errors behind him that those runs didn't count on his ERA. That was by far his worst performance. But the guys in the field behind him were kicking the ball all over the place, dropping the ball, caught up in the wind. I mean, the whole thing was pathetic, frankly. He did okay. I thought Cannon was by far their best starter on the weekend. And he got on a roll there, and he was putting together some innings. But, they're just the Cubs' PCA was so good. And it's he is the best player in Chicago. I felt like it underscored it. And I felt like everybody in town knows it now, because, all the Sox fans, what few there are watching them. You know, here's the thing that's really frustrating as a Southside guy who likes that team, or historically followed that team, grew up with that team.
Are you talking in past tense?
I don't
tense?
Like our team.
Okay.
No, I think the thing that jumps out to me is when I see them losing all these games to the Twins, losing all these games to Kansas City, and now how many 7 straight games they've lost to the Cubs, it tells me that the lack of commitment from the top on the South Side is showing up everywhere. And I get it. Someday we're going to be good again. Yeah, well, let's hope we all live to see it.
I would say, watching this as a Sox fan, it was very heartbreaking to watch. I did kind of like, though, that it did get a little chippy at the end. You should be upset. You should be mad that you're just getting drummed like that. And I kind of like it, just adds to the, Cubs-Sox rivalry, which right now the Cubs are just owning. But to piggyback off you, Mully, this is more of a coming out party to me for PCA to officially stamp himself that Dustin was probably right. Not,
wow,
what, 2028? I think he's the biggest star now in Chicago. We talked about Kyle Tucker and stuff like that. I can see why the Sox the Cubs tried to hurry up and sign PCA so early. They see it. I mean, this guy is a star in the making, and just it was pretty much just PCA killing
Bedard,
the Sox.
Bedard doesn't challenge him right now.
Caleb doesn't challenge him right now. Right now, if it's a ranking right now, it is PCA, Caleb, Bedard, everybody else.
PCA, then the world.
I can't argue with that ranking. I think when you look at what Pete Crow Armstrong is doing defensively, on the base paths, at the plate, he's as well-rounded of a player as there is in Major League Baseball right now. And he's disruptive when he's stretching a single into a double. Look at the chaos that created. And I like the word that he used, chaos. This is the way the Cubs attack the base paths. They steal six on Saturday. PCA does it all on Sunday. It starts to create havoc, and they benefit from it. PCA is a star. I don't know if it's even in the making. He is right now, and I do think it's sustainable.
Produce chaos anytime.
There we go. I love it. I love it.
That's your guy.
And he only a year ago was in Iowa trying to work on being the guy that we're seeing now. The ascension has been quick, but I don't think it's terribly unexpected. Not from the Cubs' perspective. This is what they envisioned when they traded Javi Baez for him. And this was his weekend. This was the PCA weekend. This was the PCA Invitational. The Sox were just part of
so
it.
So true.
And the Sox were not competitive, really. And the Vargas thing, I like the fact that they still had a little fight in them. These are two teams in very different spots. I know that sounds obvious, but you do have to remind yourself that a week ago the Sox were looking like they were headed in the right direction and doing things the right way. This is how small the margin for error is. A couple errors here or there, and things can unravel quickly, and they did unravel quickly. The Cubs are a playoff team with designs on competing for a pennant. That's the standard by which we're going to hold them. So you saw the difference in the disparity, how great it was over the weekend, on display at Wrigley Field in the PCA Invitation.
He's electric. PC amazing.
It's a great question.
In Sunday's notes column, Bob Nightingale in USA Today linked the Cubs and Rockies as possible trade partners for third baseman Ryan McMahon, with Matt Shaw hitting two more home runs Friday and getting hot in AAA. What should the Cubs' plan be at their bogeyman position?
Well, I think their plan is going to be Matt Shaw, and we'll hear from Lance Brozdowski on his Marquee Network podcast. He referenced Nicky Lopez appeared to be shaking hands, perhaps saying goodbye. We'll get to that later this hour. I wanted to see that play through. I am, you know, love the trade rumors, and I understand the certainty that a guy like Ryan McMahon might provide because he's a veteran, but I don't think he's having a great year, and I would not want to see him supplant Matt Shaw before Matt Shaw is given a chance to succeed again, given a second chance now that he has maybe rediscovered something about his mechanics, maybe tried something new, as we saw it worked with Miguel Vargas. Maybe it could work with Matt Shaw. Something mechanically can unlock something at the plate, and he can start to be the hitter they think he can be. He hit four homers in two nights at AAA Iowa. He's ready for another chance. He's ready for major league pitching. Let's hope that begins and resumes tonight in Miami. You don't have to look any further than produce chaos anytime to see a guy that benefited from a stint in the minors a year ago. Maybe that could be Matt Shaw's arc this season. He doesn't have to be great, but he has to be steady. And let's hope that consistency is what he provides when he comes back to the Cub lineup.
I want to show some love to Baby T over here, Tyler. He's a huge Cubs fan. So if you guys are okay with it, I'm going to refer this question to Mr. Cubs fan right here, Baby T.
I got my Cubs hat on today. I think their plan right now should be Matt Shaw. I wasn't really super onto the fact that they demoted him. I get that he was struggling, but this has been the Cubs' biggest problem over the last couple of seasons. I was a big advocate for, I believe it was last offseason, going and getting Matt Chapman, the guy that the Giants signed. I would have overpaid for Matt Chapman, and you're seeing how all the moving parts and pieces have been affecting this Cubs team. It's the little things that they've lacked at, and if they can have someone be that effective in the hot corner, then it would absolutely solidify this infield as one of the top three, if not the best in baseball. But in terms of their plan going forward, I don't really know too much about Ryan McMahon. The Rockies are on pace to be one of the worst teams of all time, I know, with the Chicago White Sox, but I want to see Matt Shaw get another chance because I don't want them to keep not going to guys in a way that they're losing confidence. I want them to show confidence in Matt Shaw, so give Matt Shaw another chance.
Good take.
I think I would have preferred to continue hearing from Brandon. I don't know why the hell you gave that one up.
He's a Cubs fan. I'm a Sox fan. I want to give him some shine.
It was a strong take. Best infield in baseball. I think you said that.
Yeah.
One of the best infields in baseball, potentially. Strong take.
But third base, baby T, is their boogeyman position. There's no doubt about it. That's the scary one that will make you stay up all night. You got to be wary of the boogeyman. And they have gone through, 13, counting Matt Shaw? In the last 2 years, that is not a joke. I mean, that is a ridiculous, absurd number of players. So I'm with you. I think that it's great that Nicky Lopez can bring his glove to third base. But if indeed he is doing like a damn Yankees, goodbye, old friend, as he's leaving the Cubs and he knows it, that means Matt Shaw's coming back. And guess what? The glove wasn't his problem. It was not what was wrong with Matt Shaw. If you're living with a guy that can field it but can't hit, then why not go with a guy who's a young guy who may be able to hit, who's hit at all different levels and now seems to be hitting again? So give me a guy that can field it, that's number one, but also maybe hit the ball. So not taking a shot at Nicky there. I mean, he was their sixth option, right? So I just think that it's a difficult position around baseball, and the Cubs have proven that in the last 2 years. And hopefully Matt Shaw will get up here and solve it. That would be great. And I don't even need him to be part of the best infield in baseball. I just need him to be able to field the ball and occasionally hit.
I will open the floor up for questions after we have Charles Smith.
That's the voice of Kevin Warren. How did you interpret the latest news on the Bears' possible move to Arlington Heights? Friday's official statement that they are shifting their focus back to the 326 acres they own. How close are we from removing the question mark?
Listen, I mean, this is... I think everybody already told them, you're not building that here. That was about as loud as could be. Oh, by the way, you have all this land. Oh, well, we're looking over here. We're trying to get the tax plan set up. Get it done. Get the shovels in the ground. They're going to be in Arlington Heights. That was almost a fait accompli. Maybe they save face by trying to, well, we wanted to be in Chicago, but they wouldn't let us. So maybe whoever was angry that they weren't going to be at Soldier Field will be less so because there is no taxpayer money. Now, is there money that is needed for infrastructure and stuff like that out in Arlington Heights? That might be an easier way around this. We'll talk to Mark Gannis about it at 8:25. And I just don't believe that there is really a chance for them. You know, the whole thing at the Michael Reese Hospital site, that is a non-starter. That was never real. And then their hopes and dreams for the lakefront is just not going to happen. I think we know it's not going to happen. So if they really want to get shovels in the ground and try to build this thing, they've got the land. They're closing in on a tax deal, and it seems fairly obvious that's where they're going to wind up.
I'm with you, Mully. I thought this was always obvious that they was going to go to Arlington Heights.
Yep.
I mean, I would prefer them. I'm kind of like Dustin, want them to be in Chicago as, you know, a Chicago fan and having a Chicago team in the city. But, I mean, they bought this land. If they didn't build it over there, I'm like, what would they do with that land in general? So I saw this coming. Hearing that news just, to me, removes the question mark for me. Maybe that gives, you know, Chicago probably have a, the city maybe have a little push, but I doubt it. I think they was just trying to have some leverage along the way to avoid the taxes at that time. That's why they was looking at other properties like the Michael Reeves Project and even trying to partner with maybe, I don't know, Chicago or the White Sox. I just don't see it happen. So now with this report, to me, it almost kind of stamps that the Bears are going to Arlington Heights.
I don't think they bought 326 acres for $197 million to create some leverage for a better situation in the city of Chicago. And I think if you start all of these conversations there, you realize that this was plan A all along. And why it has taken this long for that to become increasingly clear is, I think, the next phase of this story that needs to be examined or reported or studied and discussed. Because what I want to know now is, and maybe this sounds like you were nitpicking, or, but I think there's got to be somebody out there that looks at and evaluates and studies, how much money did the Bears waste in waiting as long as they did to shift their focus back to Arlington Heights? This is the least surprising headline of the weekend. This should have happened a year ago. This never should have been delayed by the fascination with the lakefront that God kissed. I understand why there's a romantic nature or notion of staying in the city of Chicago. Nobody wants to see the Bears play anywhere but where they are now, but it's unfeasible to continue that fantasy. And it is a fantasy in today's NFL reality. Today's NFL reality says you build your own stadium, you make your own money, and you keep it. That's why they were there in the first place. Why they ever got off that path, that's Kevin Warren's problem to explain. But I think it is Kevin Warren's problem. If I'm a McCaskey, I want to know what took so long. So yeah, Friday's statement declared their intentions to go back to Arlington Heights. They're trying to get legislation passed down in Springfield that will give them tax certainty for mega projects moving forward. This may fall into that category. It may not, but that's a negotiation. Those are the, that's the lobbying. That's what the big boys do. That's the way they're going to get this done. But to wait this long to start this process, I think that is going to be the underreported and the shame part of this, because it could have been started a long time ago.
Real quick, David, why do you think then Kevin said all that stuff about cranes in the sky and kind of lobbying if plan A all along was Arlington Heights? Like, what was the point of even Kevin saying all this? They could have just been focused, like you said, a year ago on Arlington
Heights. He got distracted. He was fascinated by building it here. And I, when I say it's plan A all along, that's my perception of when you buy that land, that should have been your plan A. You should have stayed on course. They got off course because he became fascinated with the idea of staying in the city and building that dome at Soldier Field.
And in fairness, they couldn't rectify this tax issue,
yeah,
which was going to be significantly more than they thought they had to pay or were willing to pay.
We're willing to pay. And that's why they got off track. It may have been something that they could have stayed on course and maybe overpaid in terms of the taxes. But I think I'd like to know what that number is compared to the number amount of money. Because yes, construction costs have risen.
Oh, yeah. Steel has risen. I mean,
Time is money.
There are tariffs now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, no, it's a great question.
Frank Saravelli of CHSN reported Friday that the Blackhawks met with former Red Wings and current Lightning assistant coach Jeff Blashill. What would you think of that move? And the Hawks fired Luke Richardson on December 5th. Any concerns? This is taking too long.
It is taking a long time. I think Frank Saravelli is on top of this story. They did talk to Jeff Blashill. They also talked to Nightingale, the head coach of Michigan State, who is now, I think, coaching Team USA. Jeff Blashill is a respected hockey guy who did in Detroit all he could. He succeeded Mike Babcock. He didn't have a great success, but he is somebody who would bring some credibility. He's known as a pretty old school coach and somebody who would be good for the veterans in the room. Tyler Bertuzzi played for him in Detroit. He also has a lot of experience developing guys like Dylan Larkin. So there's both of those components. What's also interesting is that Seattle had an interview lined up with Jeff Blashill and he canceled it from the way I understand it. So he is somebody that they're further down the road with. Let's hope they move soon because, again, I'm not quite sure what's taking so long. It's just the longer this goes on, the more you wonder how good of a job is considered around the league.
Well, David, I think this could be done by this week now with Toronto kind of out of it with that. So I think that can be done. I like this move. If they do hire him, I don't know if this is their plan B or C option right now, but I do like the move overall. He's a good developer, I think. I know he got old school ways, but he helped with Larkin and his development along the way. Coach Team USA, I think this would be a good move overall. And hey, we all talked about maybe getting Cooper, and if that can't happen, let's just get, you know, the man right underneath them. So I'm okay with the move overall for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. I love to see him get Cooper, okay? So if you're going to get anyone out of Tampa, get the man. Okay, this guy works for Cooper. I've heard good things about him. He's a good guy. I'm sorry. It just from a perspective of sports, they fired their coach. Why do you fire a coach? It gives you a head start on hiring his replacement. And they did not do that, and they're still looking for a guy. And all the big-name guys are going off the board, and now they're going to hire a guy. You know, I don't know the circumstances in Detroit, and I don't know how good a coach this is. But, guys, this is not a top-level guy. They're not. This would not be bringing in, like, a name hire who's turning the program around, and you can get out of the way and just watch him work. This is different than that. I don't mean, you know, it may end up being a great hire, and I don't want to diss this guy and all of his life accomplishments, but let's be honest about it. This doesn't move the needle if you're a Blackhawks fan. It really doesn't.
Next question.
That's the voice of Angel Reese. What's your take on the season opening game between the Chicago Sky and the Indiana Fever? How about Caitlin Clark's flagrant one foul on Angel Reese? What about the AP report that the WNBA is investigating racial slurs were made by fans at Reese during the game?
Yeah, the last part's horrible. And if they find anybody doing that kind of stuff, they should, you know, make sure they never go to another WNBA game. That's just completely out of line. I would say my take on the season opening game, just that, between the Sky and the Fever. I watched the Cubs White Sox series. That's what that was. Okay. that was the women's basketball version of the Cubs and the White Sox. So congratulations, Chicago Sky. Maybe the Pope will like you too.
Is Angel Reese Miguel Vargas in that situation?
Well,
get a little worked up over nothing?
No, Angel Reese, no, I don't think she got worked up over nothing. It was a foul. It was a flagrant foul. And, you know, she's the one who came out and said that people watch the WNBA for her as much as Caitlin Clark. She's, you know, obviously always been a very tough player. She got 17 rebounds in that game. I mean, she got her double-double. I think Caitlin Clark is one of the five best players in the WNBA with an arrow. Like, she's heading to be one of the best players. It's a joke that they didn't put her on the Olympic team. Her on the Olympic team, she's just one of the best players in the league, and she draws tons of attention. And I don't believe that is the same for Angel Reese. She's just not as good as Caitlin Clark, greater than sign Angel Reese. And there's nothing wrong with not being among the top five players in your sport. So I think she got fouled. I thought she was going to get fouled. If you watch it, she swipes her hand, and then it's almost like she pushed her with her other hand, and then she went down, and I think it was the other hand that got her the flagrant foul. But I didn't think it was anything overly out of line. I like that Angel Reese said it's just basketball, because I didn't think it was like a mugging or anything. So, I just want them to get to the, find the people that would say something like that in public and shame them.
I'm with you. When it comes to the fans, if that is the case, then yes, they need to be banned. When it comes to the game was horrible. I mean, Indiana looks like the real deal, and they look like they can be in title contention. Caitlin Clark looked like she could be an MVP type conversations. I mean, triple-double. She's amazing. And Mully, you're right. Right now, Caitlin Clark greater than Angel Reese. And I love Angel Reese. Y'all know I'm down with Angel Reese. That flagrant was a basketball play. That was you got to earn it. I'm not just going to let you just go up and get an easy one. I mean, the reaction wasn't to me too much. I feel like that's any type of, if it was the NBA, they fouled you that hard, they'll get up, they talk a little smack. Yeah. But, and you defending your teammate, I'm all for that. So overall, it was a basketball play, but it's going to be a tough, tough season for the Sky right now.
Yeah, the fan stuff, the hate speech, the allegations, the investigation, that's despicable. It's unacceptable. And let's hope it's the end of it. This is a rivalry in the WNBA that is, they believe, is good for the league. Let's hope that it stays good for the league and it doesn't get ugly as it appeared to on Saturday. The reaction from Angel Reese was over the top. This was a hard foul, and it was one of those things that you see often in NBA games, WNBA games, and I do think that it was typical of what they are calling and referring to as a basketball play. I think Angel Reese's post-game tone was like it was almost passive aggressive. She was saying that it was a basketball play because I think she was told to say that, and she didn't want it, nobody wanted it to escalate any more than it was. But this is clear that she was bothered that it happened. She didn't consider it a basketball play at the time, and it was because it was Caitlin Clark right. That I think it elicited that kind of response. So I don't, a lot of drama, but there's a lot of drama that she.
Angel Reese
creates and
does plays like that.
Savers.
She would do the exact same thing.
The exact same thing. Then she would walk away and wonder why, everyone thought it was anything but a basketball play. So.
I agree with you too, David, because at the same time, remember, I think last year she got clotheslined one time and she didn't do nothing for that. But I think it's just because it's Caitlin Clark. And I think it's that we came at the same time. Everybody's saying she's better than me. That's one of the reasons that it's getting to her.
It's all that. Eliminate the drama. She's a tremendous player, Angel Reese. You cut out the drama, and I think everyone would be a bit happier. As for Caitlin Clark, this is her third triple-double in 41 games. She is the best player in the WNBA.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Which Game 7 did you enjoy more Sunday? The NBA's with the Thunder blowing out the Nuggets, or the NHL's with the Leafs and the Panthers?
Baby T, why are you tormenting me? Why must you torment me? Why did you come up with this question? This has got to be your question. You fill in for Dustin and you just want to torment me. I don't want to talk about Game 7 with the Leafs and the Panthers. Okay, so I picked the Leafs and they're out. They didn't show up.
How many goals were there in that game?
Too many goals.
It was a joke.
It was a joke. It was terrible. The Panthers came to play. The Leafs did not. The only good thing about what happened last night was that maybe Mitch Marner is so ticked off, or they're so fed up with him, that he leaves Toronto, goes into free agency, and he ends up a Chicago Blackhawk. Now, you know what, Molly? That would move the needle. That would move the needle regardless of who's the head coach. If Mitch Marner signs with the Hawks in free agency, okay, so that's what happened. The Panthers showed up. The Leafs didn't. Thank you, Tyler. In the NBA, I would think that was a blowout, too. Jeez.
If I'm Joker, I'm coming to Chicago too.
If I'm Joker, I'm out of Denver. He's going to drink a lot of beer. Did you see that? That was a great quote. Anyway, it was very disappointing. Game sevens are supposed to be special. There was nothing special about either one of those.
Nope.
Guarantee!
You and Charles. Sorry. It went down. I'm sorry, David. I mean, I was watching. I'm not going to lie. I'm more of an NBA guy, but I was definitely watching the NHL a little bit more than this. I mean, the NBA, that was a blowout. That was just horrible. I could see why Joker said he wanted, you know, beers. You had to have a beer drinking that game, watching that game. That game was horrible. So,
but it's like the Nuggets showed up drunk.
Maybe they was drinking before the game. That's what I'm saying. So overall, the only thing I did like was probably maybe, okay, the Leafs are out, not because David was wrong. It's more because I'm thinking about, you know, Marner, and hopefully they have a second co-star up there with Bedard.
Yeah, I was camped out in front of the TV, ready to go with the Nuggets, man. I just was really interested in seeing how they were going to play. Actually, I think they were up like early in the game in the first quarter, but then that ended, and then that just went the wrong way. Both those games were, I mean, think about it. Whether it's the Nuggets or the Leafs or the Sky, it was like the White Sox were somehow in the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and playing in the WNBA.
That's your frame of reference. Any team that gets blown out are playing the role of the White Sox. Yeah.
That's my reaction to the horrors of the weekend.
Oh, it was ugly.
Yeah, it was. You know, Game 7s are supposed to be phenomenal. Nothing there.
Nothing
to see here. Move along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.